Welcome to the Mr. Vincent Podcast, episode 138. I'm your host, Emmanuel Vincent, and salute to my guy, Big Zo, for the intro. It's a new era for this podcast, so my man laced me with a beat. So that would be the intro going forward for this podcast. And what a great game last night between the Boston Celtics and the Denver Nuggets, a potential finals preview, as most people in the basketball community believe that that is going to be the matchup that we're going to see, barring any major injuries. The Denver Nuggets, they are going to be tough to beat in a seven-game series. That goes for any team. And, of course, that includes the Boston Celtics, who have the most prolific offense in the NBA right now. The Denver Nuggets completed the season sweep. And Nikola Jokic, there's not much you can say about him, man. He's just amazing what he's able to do on the basketball court and how he impacts the game. And also, too, what I like about the Denver Nuggets is their ability to defend the perimeter. I think that they match up very, very well with the Boston Celtics, unlike any other team in the NBA. I didn't mention this on the pod, but their athleticism on the wing and the height with the likes of Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter Jr., they're able to make life difficult for Jason Tatum like they did tonight, rather last night, and Jaylen Brown, although Jaylen Brown went off. But I can see them making it relatively difficult for him in a seven-game series. I can see Jaylen Brown having two or three games where he's not really efficient with this Denver Nuggets defense. So I recorded the recap. That's what the episode is. Last night after the game, about an hour and a half, had to take some notes and essentially had to, you know, watch some post-game analysis from the Inside the NBA crew. But we can actually get into the pod right now. Here it is. All right, so this is a recap of tonight's game between the Boston Celtics and the Denver Nuggets. Finals preview, which many think is going to take place. And this game was really, really good, real competitive. I'm actually recording this at 1:38 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Pretty good game. The Denver Nuggets were victorious, winning 115 to 109. This had a playoff feel from the get. It was very physical, and you can just feel about the atmosphere. It felt like a playoff game, kind of like a grind from a team that's been throwing a few blows back and forth. But it's like Denver just hit him with the haymaker in the end to win the game. Nikola Jokic was special. Another triple-double, right? But, I mean, this is just like another day for him. Nikola Jokic did finish with 32 points, 12 rebounds, 11 assists, adding to his MVP case for this season. Jaylen Brown, really, really big today with 42 points, along with 13 rebounds and 3 steals. Boston Celtics, the reason why they lost this game, I would say two reasons. Actually, we could say three. First is the free throws. Celtics were 16 from 25 from the line, where the Nuggets were 21 of 22. Jaylen Brown, I believe, missed about 6 or 7 free throws. That hurt them a lot. And then just the careless turnovers that led to easy transition baskets for the Nuggets. When the Nuggets did capitalize by scoring, I want to say 15 points off the transition baskets. I'll have to double check that. I'm looking right now. But I believe they did score 15 points off transition. So that was a big problem. And also, too, they didn't capitalize when Nikola Jokic was on the bench. The Nuggets were able to stay afloat and survive with the likes of, Jamal Murray, who was, I don't care what anybody says. Yeah, I was watching the game today on the Celtics broadcast because it was blacked out in my area. But Scalabrine brought up the fact that he hasn't been an all-star yet. But listen, we all know that Jamal Murray is an all-star caliber player. Just because he hasn't been an all-star doesn't mean that he's not necessarily an all-star. I know that sounds weird, but come on. Like, if this guy just plays in a loaded conference with guards, and the fact that he did miss about a month and a half of basketball due to the hamstring injury he suffered early on in the season. I think that kind of derailed him too, to finally earn his first all-star spot this year. That hurt him a lot. But this guy was just sensational. So he helped along with the role with the bench players of Peyton Watson played pretty good today. And Christian Brown did help out as well too. But yeah, so I think that they really had to win this game. They had to take advantage of the non-Jokic minutes, and they weren't able to do that. They weren't able to exploit them. And then when Nikola Jokic was in the basketball game, he's just too much to deal with. He is the ultimate Swiss Army knife right now in the NBA. I think there's not even a question as who the best player is. It's Nikola Jokic. The way that he's like the sun and then the other players just revolve around him, and they just work off Nikola Jokic, and he's just able to find these players for good shots or easy baskets at the rim. Boston Celtics, I thought that they would have the approach that Joe Mazzulla would take the approach of double teaming Nikola Jokic more, but he didn't elect to do that because when they played early on in the season when Denver went into Boston and won, he was really allowing Nikola Jokic to go one-on-one with Porzingis, and Porzingis just doesn't have the girth to keep up with Nikola Jokic. So I thought that we were going to see more, you know, double teams coming from the weak side to help out. But I understand that because Nikola Jokic is so cerebral with his passing ability that is going to lead to easy backdoors or good looks from three-point range from the likes of KCP and Michael Porter Jr. So they didn't like to do that. They were allowing Nikola Jokic to go one-on-one, and he was just, you know, having his way. I think that he really made his case for being the league MVP this year. What this guy brings to the table, what he does for the Denver Nuggets, a lot of things just don't even go like into the box score. You just have to like watch a game with Nikola Jokic just to see how valuable he is to the Denver Nuggets. I'm not sure if he had a, I don't think that he would win. Rather, the Nuggets would win this game if he played mediocre, not even subpar, just mediocre. I don't think that they come out victorious in this game. Because hey, Jaylen Brown, he played really, really good. He was aggressive from the beginning. I like that. Even when he picked up his third foul, and Mazzulla elected to keep him in the game in the second half. I mean, in the second quarter with the three fouls, he was still in attack mode. He had that mentality. He came out, you know, approached this game like it was the NBA Finals. I felt like he had that mentality that was needed because when the last time the Seas were in the Finals, he was the best player on the court. And I can say that he was the best player again for the Celtics tonight. Can't say the same about Jason Tatum. Tatum had 15 points, 5 of 13 from the field, or 2 of 3 from three-point range. Now, we did have 8 helpers tonight, so you can say, hey, you know what? He didn't really shoot well from the field, but he did make up for it with getting guys some good shots. And the attention that he was getting was leading to shots from the likes of, like, KCP. But still, man. Sorry, not KCP. KP, Kristaps Porzingis. But still, in a nationally televised game, Jason Tatum, who had made the case at least a couple of weeks ago, that he feels like he's the best player in the NBA, to not come out to be aggressive or look for your shot early to get in some kind of rhythm and just be kind of laid back in this spot, that's kind of alarming to me. If I was a Celtics fan, I would be alarmed because it's almost going to be a foregone conclusion, barring any major injuries, that the Celtics will head to the NBA Finals this year. I think that they are just head and shoulders above the rest in the Eastern Conference. The only team that I think can beat them is the Denver Nuggets in a 7-game series. Then throwing the fact, as I mentioned earlier, that Denver did hand them their first loss at home this year in a 102-100 victory. You would think that Jason Tatum would come out to kind of make a point. This was kind of like a statement game. Again, playing against the reigning finals MVP and former two-time league MVP Nikola Jokic, you would think that he wanted to, like, you know, make sure that he gets aggressive and he puts himself to put his team in the best position to win this game, but he didn't do that. This frustrates me with Jason Tatum, because I do like him a lot, but I just feel like sometimes he's just the mentality. Like, I always said that, yes, he is the best player on the Celtics. I wouldn't dispute that at all. But I think that I like Brown's motor more. He's more aggressive. He has more of a, maybe more of a cerebral mentality. But he's just, like, more consistent than me, I think, when it comes to being aggressive. And he's more aggressive to me. Well, you don't have to really worry about that for him. Hey, he might not be on. He might be not be on from the field, but he's going to look to be aggressive to try to get his game going, where sometimes Jason Tatum kind of flows in and out of the offense. And I think that this was a prime example tonight. And I wanted to do a podcast too a couple of weeks ago when, you know, TV shows such as First Take and Undisputed were making the case that whether or not should Jason Tatum be the league MVP. And, you know, Stephen A is on the Jason Tatum campaign saying that he's the best player on the best team. Therefore, he should be the league MVP, or I'll be like strong consideration for it, and that he has him at the top of his ballot. I don't agree with that because, like I mentioned today, Nikola Jokic couldn't afford to have the type of game or impact on a game today that Jason Tatum had, and they'd be victorious. I don't believe that. Tatum didn't play really well, but Brown was the best player for the Seas offensively. KP took them with 23 points, and they only lost by 6 points. What does that tell you? That tells you that the Boston Celtics, while they are the best team in the league, at least they are the best team in the league from a standing standpoint. I think the Nuggets are the best team in the league. They have the deepest, they have the most, like, they're loaded on offense and defense, right? If you were to take Jason Tatum off the Celtics and take Nikola Jokic off the Denver Nuggets, which team would be better? I'd say the Boston Celtics. If you took Shai Gilgeous-Alexander off the Oklahoma City Thunder and Jason Tatum off the Boston Celtics, which team would be better? It's the Boston Celtics. Luka Doncic, take him off the Mavs. Take Tatum off the Celtics. What team is better? The Boston Celtics. So my thing is that this narrative of best player on the best team should be the MVP, that's just a lazy narrative. And I don't think that that's what the award really means. I think a big part of this award, to me, the league MVP, is how would your team do without you? Or if you had a bad game or you struggled and you weren't contributing to the standard to your normal standards, how would your team fare? And I think that the Boston Celtics, although they wouldn't be the same team they are with Jason Tatum playing subpar, they still be a relatively good team. So that's my stance right there. And I do think that the Denver Nuggets, I think they have the best starting five in basketball. These two teams do have, they are the best two teams in the league when it comes to starting five. A lot of people would say it's the Denver Nuggets, but I just think that it's the, a lot of people say that it's the Boston Celtics. I don't feel that way. I really think that the Denver Nuggets are the best team in basketball. Have the best starting five, not necessarily because of the talent, because I would say Boston has a better talent, but in terms of continuity and cohesiveness, I take that into factor. And I do think that the Denver Nuggets beat the Boston Celtics in that department. The cohesiveness, going deep into the playoffs, getting to the NBA Finals and actually capturing the Larry O'Brien Trophy, goes a long way. And the fact that these guys have relatively, I don't want to say that they just sleepwalk through the season thus far, but they're not treating it with the urgency that they did last year, right? Since the All-Star break, they are now 7-1, I believe, is their record. So they only lost one game since the All-Star break, which is actually their last game, I believe it was Tuesday night against the Phoenix Suns. Now that they are essentially clicking on all cylinders and they are just on a roll, and I really think it's going to be hard for any team to beat them in a 7-game series. And I think that we've seen that tonight. I meant to mention before, this game I thought was really more important for Boston because, you know, Boston wants to have that. They want to get that psychological edge if these two teams were to end up facing each other in the NBA Finals. Now they lost to them twice this season. They got swept this season by the Denver Nuggets. I wanted that what that's going to do to their psyche if these guys do end up facing off in June. I mean, it really was just the turnovers and the free throws that killed them, because despite all that, they were able to make it a game in the fourth quarter, thanks to the likes of like Drew Holiday hitting some two big three pointers that essentially brought the game to within reach. If Tatum didn't miss that three pointer in the corner, they possibly would have ended up winning that game. But again, with that being said, Nikola Jokic was able to just, you know, dissect the Celtics defense when they were bringing help over. He was able to find the likes of an Aaron Gordon with that big alley-oop that essentially sealed the game. And then early in the fourth quarter, and earlier, finding KCP in a three for a three in the corner. This team is they're just too good. Boston Celtics. So, yeah, as I mentioned, Celtics fans. If I was a Celtics fan, I would be just a little worried only because of this most likely will be the team that we have to beat if we were to make it to the NBA Finals. Because, again, while the West is loaded and the seedings are so tight, 1-4, I don't see a team in the Western Conference that can beat the Denver Nuggets realistically in a 7-game series. So this was a good test tonight, a good litmus test for the Celtics to see where they stack up against the best players. And they do have a losing record now. Oh, I don't know the exact record, but they do have a losing record now against the top four teams in the Western Conference. So that has to be a little concerning. And like the last game when they played the Denver Nuggets, both teams were relatively healthy. I don't think anybody was missing key players. I mean, like Tatum, Brown, KCP, Derek White, Drew Holiday, they were available for this game, and they were available for the last game, just like with Denver when they played in TD Garden. They had Murray, Jokic, Michael Porter Jr., KCP, Aaron Gordon. So this is what I like, seeing teams that are at the top of the league, true contenders, facing off and being relatively healthy, because it really gives you a glimpse into where they're at right now and what could you expect possibly if they were to play each other in the postseason. And we got a taste of that in the first game and the second game, because both teams were essentially like had their full roster when they played today. I mean, these benches aren't really impressive in terms of depth. The Celtics or the Nuggets. I mean, last year the Denver Nuggets, two of their key contributors are no longer there from last year's team with Bruce Brown and Jeff Green. But again, Peyton Watson did play relatively well, I would say. Hit some big shots, had a big dunk too as well on the fast break. And Christian Brown was good. He brings a little spark and brings a little motor off the bench too as needed. So these teams, if they were to play off, you're gonna see the starters play relatively 37 to 38 minutes if these teams were to meet up in the NBA Finals. But again, I would give that to edge the Denver Nuggets, because with the Boston Celtics, what I'm seeing from them, it's a little concerning. It's like when everybody's comparing them to the likes of like the 2017 Warriors, and I'm not gonna really go that far because I don't think anybody on this team is better than Steph Curry or Kevin Durant. But a lot of people compare them just because of their offensive prowess. They hit teams a lot of nights. They are like just hitting teams with haymakers from 3-point range. And when they're hitting their three, they are essentially unbeatable. There's like nothing you can do. Great evidence of that was what we seen on Sunday night afternoon when they played the Golden State Warriors in the TD Garden. I mean, they were up 40 at halftime. There was essentially nothing the Golden State Warriors can do. I mean, they did elect to sag off Jaylen Brown, And he was just killing them. And then it was essentially contagious. The rest of the team was just going ballistic as well. But it seems like when the Boston Celtics aren't hitting threes and games are tight, they kind of, you know, spiral out of control. That's essentially the same sentiments that Chuck had today on the Inside the NBA, that the Boston Celtics, when they're playing a team as good as the Denver Nuggets, that are methodical and they execute well down the stretch of the games, and it's a tight contest, and you're not really hitting your threes, they seem to like fall apart. And that's my concern for the Boston Celtics, because yes, it looks all good right now when they are really like just going ballistic from the 3-point line. A lot of nights they're doing that, just hitting teams with haymakers, stretching the defense out with KP, the ultimate cheat code, stretching the defense out and giving Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown a lot of room to operate while he's like standing there ready to launch a 28-footer, right? But when games are close, so I want to see how they're going to play in the playoffs when obviously the game slows down and becomes more of a half-court game. And again, with these careless turnovers, because they don't really have a true point guard. They have, yes, Derek White is great, but probably the best, arguably the best defender in the league at the guard position. We can probably say his teammate, Drew Holiday, is number one, and he's number two. I want to slice that thing to have probably the top two defensive guards in the league. But he's not really a real point guard. He doesn't really get people involved and set up an offense, and neither does Drew Holiday. I think that's kind of what hurt Milwaukee too last year, that they didn't really have a true point guard, you know, to get the offense settled down when things were, you know, unraveling for them down the stretch. And I see that kind of showing in Boston. But yeah, like I said, this team is they're great. I don't know if the 2017 Warriors great, but I mean, it's a different NBA. Teams are jacking up a lot. I mean, they take the most threes. Nearly half of their shots are 3-pointers. Whereas that wasn't the case in 2017 when the Warriors played. Teams are taking a lot more 3-pointers now. And I wanted to bring up a quote, rather a tweet that the Ringer's Kevin O'Connor did put up shortly after the contest tonight, when he said, and I quote, "The Nuggets swept the Celtics 2-0 this season, despite shooting 25.8% from three in the first game and only 19% tonight. Scary sign for Boston if these two teams face off in the NBA Finals. Denver can be way better." Yes, while Denver doesn't live and die by the three like the Boston Celtics do, they definitely can be way better. And I think that they would be way better if these guys were to play in the NBA Finals. And again, they have the ultimate cheat code. Nikola Jokic, it's essentially nothing that the Boston Celtics can do. I mean, yeah, KP really can't do anything. He's too slim down there. Nikola Jokic is able to just, you know, just get his position, get the shot that he wants. And then if you want to help out, I mean, he can just kick the ball out or find a cutter, lob the ball, find a cutter like Aaron Gordon, or kick out to a Michael Porter Jr. or KCP for three. And then him and Jamal Murray's two-man game is virtually unstoppable. Those guys complement each other so well. I mean, Murray wasn't nearly as explosive as he was in the first game, but he did have 19 points tonight. And then he did play very well in those while Nikola Jokic was resting. He didn't do a good job of keeping the Nuggets afloat while the big man got his normal rest that he gets. This team is just tough. And I think that tonight we've seen that there's levels to this in terms of best player in the league and league MVP. Because Nikola Jokic, I'm telling you right now, I'm starting to think that the gap is significant when it comes to who's the best player in the league. I used to think that you had to be, I'm not a fan of players who are necessarily not great on defense, who aren't great two-way players. But Nikola Jokic, while he'll never be mistaken for an all-NBA defensive type player, nor will he ever be in consideration for a Defensive Player of the Year award. He's still pretty good on defense, I'd say, because he knows how to use his body to leverage his body, and he is active like in the passing lanes with his hands. So he's a little underrated, I would say, defensively. Again, I'm not saying that he's going to be a Defensive Player of the Year. Never that. But he's more impactful on defense than people tend to give him credit for. And again, what he does for an offense is just remarkable. I mean, this guy can dominate a basketball game only scoring 12 points and putting up about 8 shots. He doesn't necessarily need to score to be impactful. And that's scary. I guess that he just essentially calls, he essentially gives what the game calls for. He gets a feel for the game early and just from there goes off like what he's feeling. And then he just provides what the Denver Nuggets needs in order to be victorious like he did tonight. It's scary. So I believe now they are fourth in the West. I'm going to take a look at the standings right now. Whereas I mentioned the Boston Celtics are, they are still number one in the league and number one in the East by about, 7 games? I'm going to verify that right now. So, yeah, the Boston Celtics now are 48-14. They're about 7.5 games in front of the Bucks. Whereas the Denver Nuggets are now third in the Eastern Conference. Sorry, Western Conference. After their victory tonight, they bounced back well, whereas the Boston Celtics have lost 2 in a row. The first time since November that's happened. That just goes to show you how potent this Boston Celtics team has been. But again, I think that these two teams are the cream of the crop when it comes to the teams in the NBA. I think that they're on their own tier and everybody else is just looking up. And honestly, I think if this was to be an NBA Finals matchup, it'd be a good one, but I'd have to go with the Denver Nuggets. And because they just have Nikola Jokic is just, he's amazing. He is, I think he impacts the game like no one I've ever seen with my own eyes. He's just different. And there's no defense that can rattle him, that can force him to play out of character. Boston doesn't have the answer. No one does. So I would have to take the Denver Nuggets probably in 6 games. Going to be a sweep. There's no way that the Boston Celtics team can ever get swept in a series. They're 2-point on offense. One game in a 7-game series, they're going to explode from 3-point range. But again, I think that, and when the game slowed down though in the postseason, and when the 3-point shot isn't falling, what else do they have? I don't want to say they're a one-trick pony because they have so much talent. But it feels like they rely on the 3-point shot too much for my liking. And I think that can come back to bite them if they were to play the Denver Nuggets in the finals. And possibly it can even come back to bite them in the Eastern Conference. I said possibly. But I think that they should get to the NBA Finals essentially with no problem in that if they weren't to make the NBA Finals, outside of a catastrophic injury, knock on wood, there's no excuse that this Boston Celtics team does not get to the NBA Finals. So that's my thought and my of the game that took place tonight. And that is it for this episode. Be sure to hit that subscribe button if you haven't already, as you can find this pod just about everywhere you listen to your favorite podcast at. And don't forget to like the IG page, or rather follow the IG page for this pod at the Mr. Vincent Pod. Again, that is at the Mr. Vincent Pod. And you can also subscribe to the YouTube channel, Mr. Vincent. That's where you can see episodes of this pod. And also, if you want to follow me on social media as well, my personal page at Mr. Vincent 13 on IG and X. Again, that is at Mr. Vincent 13. That's all the time I have for now. Wrestling fans, be on the lookout for my next episode, which should be available Thursday evening, Friday morning next week, as I will be in attendance for Big Business, which goes down at TD Garden on Wednesday. I will do a full recap of that episode, just, you know, giving you guys my experience being there, as I'm on the floor, like right by the action. So it's going to be amazing and should be a great night in wrestling history. So again, be on the lookout for that episode. But until then, you guys stay blessed, stay safe, take care.